Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, your fellow redeemed. I brought this along today to remind us of Palm Sunday. In case you're wondering, it fell off the tree in the back. The reason I wanted to remind you of Palm Sunday and Holy Week is it will help to understand the parable that Jesus tells in the sermon text today. So if you remember Palm Sunday, most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, it says, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." They were calling Jesus the Son of David, and that's just another way in Old Testament Israel to call Jesus the Messiah. And that really rankled Jerusalem's leaders. They were looking for a Messiah, but not one from sin. They were looking for a Messiah to raise up the nation of Israel, to be like it was in the glory days of Solomon. Later that day, Jesus was in the temple courts, and he overturned the tables of the money collectors, money changers, and those who were selling sacrificial animals, doves. He preached in the temple, and he healed people miraculously. And all throughout the temple courts, youngsters were running around repeating what they'd heard on Sunday morning, that Jesus is the Son of David. And the chief priests and the scribes were upset with all the disruptions. And they came to Jesus and asked him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" They were giving him an out. They thought that no one in his right mind would let himself be called the Messiah. And they figured Jesus would back off. On Tuesday, they came back to Jesus with this question: "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Now that question is a loaded gun, because if you notice what it presupposes the idea that Jesus thought he had some authority. But the only authority that was to be exercised in the temple was the authority the Romans had given the Sadducees. And the chief priest was a Sadducee, and many of the scribes were Sadducees. And if Jesus had swallowed that presupposition in that question and answered it, he would have been running up against the authority of the Romans. And of course, if he said he didn't have any authority, then he'd be silencing himself, and that would be okay too. But Jesus didn't answer their question quite the way they expected. He came with his own question. "The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men?" But you see, this was a question they didn't want to answer, because they knew if they answered it, they would let Jesus loose from the trap they had set for him. And so they offered this kind of weak deception to him. "Well, we don't know." They know full well. All Israel knew. And Jesus didn't respond then by saying, "Oh, then let me show you." He saw through their plans. "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." But Jesus didn't stop there. He wasn't about to let this opportunity pass by to preach to these men and show them the corruption of their hearts so that they might repent. And so he told them the parable that is our sermon text today. And I would invite you to rise for the reading of the gospel lesson from Matthew 21, verses 28 through 32. Jesus said, "What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, "Son, go and work in the vineyard today." And he answered, "I will not." But afterward he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, "I go, sir," but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him." So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would set us apart from this dying world by your word, which is the truth. Cause us to see how desperately we need the salvation that Jesus won for us, and give us strength to repent, to turn from our sins, and to follow Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So Jesus' parable shows us a big contrast between the two reactions of the sons of the father. And he poses it in the form of a question. He says, "What do you think? A man had two sons." And the first one, of course, he just flat out rebelled against his father. I will not go and work in the vineyard. He heard the command of the father to go and work, and he said no to it. This first son didn't wish to do the father's bidding, and he felt no shame in saying so. But then in time, he turned around from his rebellion, and he went the other direction and amended his way and did as the father commanded. And this is exactly the definition of repentance, to turn around from a sinful way and to go the other way. Every Israelite, whether a believer or not, knew this word repentance. It played a key role in Israel. It was such a part of their culture. They knew the words of the prophet Jeremiah, who said, "Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel?" We sang these words in our hymn. Of all people, the chief priests and the scribes, well, they should have known what God had sent them to do. They were well acquainted with the scriptures. The chief priest was to oversee the sacrifices that were offered in the temple. The people would go to him to know God's will. He alone was to enter the Holy of Holies in the temple once a year to offer the sacrifice of atonement for the people. The scribes, well, their job was to preserve the word of God for future generations. And it seems like pure irony when we think about what the chief priests and scribes were doing. They should have recognized Jesus' authority of all people. They should have welcomed the great high priest who came himself to offer himself to make atonement for the whole world. They should have recognized the word of God walking in the flesh among them. But they would not, because it meant humbling themselves before God's Messiah and following his lead. And he wasn't going in the direction that they wanted him to go in. He wasn't winning back Israel from the Romans. He was winning back people from their sins, calling them to repent. But they refused. Others, like the tax collectors and prostitutes, and the disciples, well, he dined with them. He taught them. They heard Jesus call, and by the grace of God, they believed what he said. These were Israel's lowlife, simple people, chosen by God to hear and by the power of his word to believe. And God's word taught them that they were sinners, and they heard that and believed and repented, and they were forgiven, not because they repented, but because the sacrifice was being made for them. Today, many more people than ever have heard God's word. It's all over the world. And today, many more people refuse it with those thoughts, "I will not," for all kinds of different reasons. Yet notice the hope that Jesus proclaims to us here. God's word changes hearts. Not by force. God is patient with us, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to have eternal life. He's even preaching this to the chief priests and the scribes, even as he goes to make atonement for their sins and to win the forgiveness of their sins. And he's even preaching this to all of us here all these years later, through the efforts of all the Christians who came before us. He preaches to us, repent. The kingdom of heaven is near, fellow redeemed. And you hear him. Do not hold on to what God forbids with a stubborn pride, like those who were questioning Jesus' authority. Don't refuse to do what God has called upon you to do. Do not keep on doing what you know is wrong in your consciences. Christ has freed you so that you may turn away from such things. That's why Paul can write, "Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches, in his teaching, the one who exhorts, in his exhortation, the one who contributes, in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness." What do you think? The other son, he said, "I go, sir." But then he didn't go. The chief priests and the scribes said in their hearts, "I go, sir." But they didn't go. The chief priests and scribes were there to work among God's people, but they deceived themselves and many people around them with pious-looking acts, the trappings of their offices, utterly worthless. Everybody could tell who they were in the temple courts. They had badges, in a sense. And people respected their authority as having come from God. But then they asked God himself, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Because they would not recognize who Jesus was. They deceived themselves into thinking that their status before men mattered more than their status before God. Though surely they wouldn't have said that outright. And so they wouldn't repent. And they ended up opposing the living God, opposing the one who was there to win forgiveness for them and for everybody else, opposing the truth, opposing even his life, until their hatred grew even to the point of condemnation and the crucifixion. Did their sinful self-deception continue so that there never was a change of heart in their future? Well, we don't know for sure, but sad if it did. The author to the Hebrews writes, "For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace. Jesus wasn't putting them down, but warning them. He was warning them to turn from their ways and live. Truly I say to you, he says, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. He said this because he had gone to many a tax collector and prostitute with his preaching, and he brought them to see their sins and to repent. But the chief priests and the scribes would not see themselves in the two sons of the parable, and they would not see the Son of the Heavenly Father standing right before them, doing what was needed to be done to save them from their sins and to win forgiveness for them. Nothing had changed in all those years since John the Baptizer preached. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him. Today, I tell you, don't miss the son who is telling the story. He's the most important one here. The Lord has laid before you this parable, and he's refreshed your memory of John's preaching of repentance. Remember also John's preaching of a baptism for the remission of sins. He's shown you this mercy today. He's called you to repentance. Will you look at your sins honestly? Will you recognize that you need the Son of God? You need his sacrifice. You need the forgiveness of sins. Or will you refuse it and look to your own abilities or your own position in this world? Will you deceive yourself so that there's no change at all? No turn from your sins. No life. You've heard God's word. You've seen in it that you failed him, but he has never failed you. He has never failed you, and he never will. Repent. Recognize his authority. Live under him in his kingdom here, proclaiming him, the only true God in the flesh, who went to that cross to pay for your sins, to take the punishment that you deserved, to stand in your stead, and live under him in this world. Live under him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness in the world to come. Fellow redeemed, honest repentance is part of change for the better. And sinful self-deception is no change at all. The Son wins gracious forgiveness for you. May this preaching of his word set you aside for his kingdom. And may it encourage in you today the desire to turn from your sins and follow him. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.